Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. Folks, this is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. With me today on the show, I have a good friend in California, Joni Stahl, who many of you will know and who has been associated with A Minute to Midnight for a long way, right back actually since beginning of 2016. So welcome, Joni.
Oh, thanks for having me back on. It's so nice to be here.
Yeah, it's been a wee while since you've been on, a few weeks, and it's kind of good. We were chatting yesterday, and I said, hey, Joni, maybe, because we were planning on doing a show in a couple of weeks, and I said to you yesterday, hey, can we actually, or the day before yesterday, can we do one today? Yeah, because there's just so much happening. And you said yes, so we've launched into doing it. Tell us just a little bit about what you're seeing in your area.
You know, it's really surprising because, you know, when we're over here on the West Coast, it is really different. Like, of course, Southern California, West Coast, especially, we're seeing, especially in our pocket, you know, we live like right on the coast, and it's typically a place that you would never expect demonstrations and things like that. But, you know, we got a police, something was sent to us by our local news. And there was a bomb. Somebody actually planted a bomb under a bridge. You were down here, so you know where the pier is, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, to the right of that, there's a little bridge, and there was 200 people there that night, and they had planted a bomb. It was a real bomb. What kind of bomb? I don't know, but probably not a sophisticated one, but they took care of that. But, you know, they were boarding up all the stores down here. And then, of course, the people are showing up. But it's really getting kind of crazy. I mean, all the parts of cities of California are enacting a curfew. And, of course, it's going crazy up there in Oakland. I mean, it's very dangerous in Northern California right now. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's going on here.
And it's just all over the country. You know, it's kind of discouraging to look at what's happening with all the violent protests and the people that have, I'm sure many of the listeners will have seen a lot of the short video clips that have been put out on Twitter feeds and various other places. And it's truly shocking, a lot of what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost kind of speechless sometimes because so much is happening right now. You know, like when the COVID came out, it was like, well, you know, no one was used to it in the United States or the world, right? And then it became this global pandemic.
Yeah.
And then we just saw all kinds of economic catastrophe. I mean, you know, Tony, what's really shocking to me is that our unemployment rate in the United States, well, they want to be conservative and they said it's 20%, but the real statistics are more at 35%, and there are over 40 million people that have filed for unemployment. And, you know, we're looking at like something like nearly 30 meatpacking plants are shut down. COVID is exploding. And I know there's a lot of people that have, you know, their idea about that, that it's not real or whatever, but you can't get away from the fact that there are people that are getting it and that we have a completely now destroyed economy. And now we have this thing going on, and it's interesting because it's in over 140 cities. And from what I understand, Trump is about to invoke the Insurrection Act and deploy the military and he wants to label Antifa domestic terrorism operation. And I believe it really is.
Yeah, totally. Look, I've had some people asking me, you know, have I heard anything from Jeremy, my ex 32nd Freemason source? You know, several people have been asking me, has he had anything to say about this? Well, actually, I got some emails from Jeremy over the weekend, several of the emails. I'm actually going to take a little bit of time to just read some of what he wrote in some of the emails to me. I will, you know, I'll say it'll take a little while to read, but I think the information in them is important. So I might launch into reading that now before we carry on this discussion. So, this is Jeremy, the ex-32nd degree Freemason, his emails. So he starts off here and he said, I met with my source. Now, I won't go into his source's details, but he's a high level. He's high level, okay. I'll just say that much. I met with my source, and I was told last week, which is why I emailed you last week, that something was coming, one event. Right, so Jeremy had emailed me before this riots thing happened and said something's going to happen, okay? And then he said, well, it will bring in a second one. His source, Jeremy's source, said that men were all planted in with those protesters to get them to violence. Now we all know this well, agitators. But he says, it's his source, says they are police department undercover officers. But he said this is the first event that will start the ethnic killing I told you about, and I do believe it. It already has started the process, so the event. His words, he said, it don't take much now. This is, yeah, it don't take much to get the subhumans riled up, which is pretty horrible, but that's what the source, remember, this is people from the southern states. And they will be the cause of the system really stepping up as everyone is going to want protection from them. This is why it's time to be in and not out. Curfews will commence, and that takes more liberties away from the normal folks. Those are his source's words. Then these people planted will do more damage and more violence, and property damage will move into residential areas. That's his source's words. And then one step closer to the real agenda will come closer to the goal. This flu, meaning the pandemic, took so much and still is from everyone on earth, so many freedoms, and they never knew that they never knew they had and took advantage of. And now these riots will start and take the next step. Watch and see if things don't happen everywhere of this caliber. Now, of course, it won't be black folks being killed in other countries, but something related to cause major riots everywhere that will bring in this same steps. Those are his source's words. The whole world will follow our lead. The ones writing the play, he always says, the ones writing the script will follow the lead in US and bring about their own violence to bring in more oppressive rules to take away more rights until there are no rights left. Even down to the local police in these cities are involved. I'd never heard that before, says Jeremy. I always knew agitators were involved in these riots, like when Trump won, but I never thought police. But I can see it now clearly. He said, meaning his source, the protesters always need one last push to bring out the animal in them, and when it's out, it's out. And that is what they've been trying to do for a long time. But he said it always dies down. But he did tell me this time, this is his high-level source told him, this time it will not. Another event will happen, in his words, to bring them back out when the Floyd thing isn't enough anymore. So something else is coming. And last week, one of the men I've always known, also whom I met with the most, said to me what I told you to begin, to watch for some event that will trigger the next step in this agenda. And I wondered when I saw Floyd die if that was it, but I didn't know for sure. And then Sunday, my big source told me, when you watch it and know it's orchestrated, it isn't as good as real violence. And that was Floyd dying. So that he was basically told that the day before, because I think it happened on a Monday. So he was told on a Sunday. And he was telling me they all knew it was going to happen. What he is saying is they planned it, and that cop who killed knew he was going to do it. And when you watch that video, you see it. They didn't even try CPR or anything, Tony. They loaded him up and did nothing. When have you ever seen anything like that in your life? I mean, ever. I do think the man died. I think they paid that cop's family a ton of money. And he was in the Mystery Babylon religion and wanted to do it, maybe. There is so much more of this we don't know, but it was planned and all on camera every minute of it. And this came from it. They knew this would happen, as it was wrong. When anyone watches that, it's disturbing, but knowing it was planned, it is still disturbing, but even worse. They will wipe out millions. I know it. and have heard it my entire adult life. It's coming closer every day. And he says, he's talking about his source again, this killing or genocide is closer than any point in history, and we are ready and prepared to start it now. Those were his words, his source's words. We are in a scary time, this is back to Jeremy, and things have changed nothing like what's coming in the second event. This will bring in this big one, big second one. And he told me this is nothing. These aren't riots, he said. The real riots will bring it in. Something will cause these riots to grow to an extreme. Watch for it any day. And then in another email, he said, because he'd forgotten to tell me, he says, but talking about his family, because his family took off to, he believes, the underground base in Denver. But they've lied to him about it because, of course, he's not a Freemason anymore, so he's not invited to there. But his mother and stepfather have been there. So he said this, my family, get this, I forgot to mention, sorry, they all came home the same time, every single one of them. My mother and stepdad claim to have bought a condo there, that's in Denver, and want to go back a couple of months a year, or in Colorado somewhere, I'm not sure if exactly she's saying it's Denver, and want to go back to this place in July. Because they actually live in the southern states, miles from Colorado, but they've gone there, his family, or went there to escape the pandemic. Anyway, he says, I confronted her and told her, I know where you went. Do you think I'm that dumb? And she said, then you know I have to go. If you truly know, he says, I kid you not. I believe she wants to be safe in defense of what's coming. And she said to me, make sure to stay at the plantation this summer. I said, I can put two and two together. Makes me mad what they are doing, he says. And this time my father, who's not married to his mother anymore, but his father as well is leaving. And I don't think he's going where he's telling me he's going either. And then Jeremy finishes with, I can trust no one here, Tony, no one. I cannot believe a word anyone says anymore. Just about 95% of the people I've known and know, I cannot trust a word they say. But at least I can trust Jesus Christ, and that's all that matters nowadays. So there was more, but I've just basically taken and edited the bits that I thought I'd read online. So that's the end of that. But it's pretty sobering, Joni.
You know, if anybody I would listen to, because I've been listening to Jeremy ever since you had him on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, just, I know that he knows a billion times more than I ever would because he was in it. But from what I know, just from what I know and the degree of knowing it, everything is planned out. Everything has a plan with them. There's no surprises. There's no, oh my goodness. Like, and even at our White House, there's no like, oh my gosh, look what's happening.
Yeah.
Everything is known in advance. They know things years in advance.
Yeah.
And because they have so many things happening and allowing things to happen all at the same time, it's like there's a whirlwind. So everybody is so busy looking to the right, looking to the left. Nobody's knowing which way anything is coming from. And everything is big and it's huge and it's scary. And it is, you know, I mean, we've had, I believe the number was 64,000 National Guard and I don't think they were in all 140 cities, but you know, these elitists, they know when to duck out. They know when to go. There's a signal they all have. Come on, you know that they all have like,
yeah,
you know, they have a network.
And they all have their safe places to go. I mean, this is it. I mean, where Jeremy's going, the plantation, you know, that's his safe place, even though he's not a Freemason anymore and it's nothing to do with that. It's a family place, which I won't just say anymore. But it's been in the family for a long time. We're talking generations. And he comes from a family that's been in politics for generations in one of the southern states. I don't want to give away because I know who his family is basically and all that. But and so these people are still insiders to the politics because it's been generations of it going back to the Civil War, even.
Well, yeah.
So yeah.
And, you know, speaking, if I may just say this because it popped into my head, I had an interesting meeting with a gentleman through a friend that you have in mind. I'm not going to say her name, but she is a mutual friend of ours. And I guess she had talked about me to him, and he was like, well, I'd really like to meet up with her. So Jonathan and I, my husband, we met up with this gentleman, and I was really blown away. And his name is Robert Vecino, and he has these underground shelters called Vivos. And he's been, I mean, I had no idea that it existed, who this person was. And I, to be honest with you, I was like, I don't know why I'm going to go meet this person. We met for coffee at a Starbucks. He's a very interesting person, but he started a project, and it's an actual global, they're global. He spent like an hour and a half, 2 hours, I think maybe it was that long, talking about bunkers all over the world, and they're for millionaires, you know? And he was showing us pictures of them. It's in, I believe, South Dakota. I won't go into detail about it, but I saw pictures of it, and anybody can look it up if they like. But I can tell you something right now. He was going into detail about how they're made, and they're 150. I mean, they're in missile silos and underground bases. So what this man does is he goes around buying underground bases, you know, literally buying underground bases. He's not alone. He has people that throw money into it. And so, you know, he has this whole complex system. I mean, it would take me forever to talk about, but the point I'm trying to say is this, because of what Jeremy said when he said, look, I can't trust anybody anymore. All I will trust and can trust now is Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. And the man was, he was kind, he was gentlemanly, but I can tell you this much. When we were driving home by the Spirit, I said to my husband, I said, you know what, Jonathan? I said, Jesus doesn't want us underground, under the earth. He wants us on top of the earth. He made us to be lights that shine. I said, there's spirits down there. And I'm kind of laughing, but it's true. And, you know, I think about that. There's a scripture in Amos chapter 9, verse 2, and it says, though they dig down into hell, you know, meaning try to escape, that there's going to be no escape. Because you see, you know, what's coming right now upon this entire planet is not just, oh, look, the economy is crashing. Oh, look, we can't buy all the beef we want to buy. Oh, look, they're only letting us buy 2 cartons of eggs. There is exactly what Jeremy described is exactly what I believe from an educated angle will happen. And Jesus Christ is our defense. He is our God. And, you know, it brings me back to that. Remember that dream I had? Trump's Iron Fortress?
Yeah.
You know, if you want me to, I can share that.
Yeah, you just mentioned a bit. Yeah, yep.
Well, it's pretty, you know, I mean, I had it like, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? It was something like that. I mean, it was a while back. But here's how the dream went. And he was already in office, I think, for a year or whatever. But in that dream, I saw myself outside standing with somebody, a neighbor, talking. And this man that mostly is always in my dreams shows up. He's in an urgent, there's an urgency for me to follow him. And next thing you know, I'm taken to this place. The scene changes. I'm taken somewhere and it looks like, and we're standing in front of this door. And I was thinking, what kind of a door is this? It looked like almost like a vault door. It was like solid metal and it was like a burnished bronze color, whatever. Color doesn't matter. I'm going to get to the point here because I don't want to take up all the time with it. But the points I'm going to say about it are he knocked at the door and my whole time I'm thinking, what kind of a place is this? And so Trump opened the door and he's like, come in. I'm so glad you're here. And we walk in and I say to myself, what kind of a place is this? And I had a vision within the dream. And while Trump was talking, I saw myself, like I could see that the location of this was in this place where there was these most highest mountains, like mountain peaks, like you would see like in Switzerland or Austria. And there was even snow on them. And there was, and I can see this entire, it looked like an iron fortress on top of this peak, like it was completely inaccessible to man. And I thought, wow, what is this? And so all of a sudden I'm back in the dream, out of the vision. And he's saying, yes, I have this place. It's for me and my kids. It's for my family. And as he was talking, I saw to my right a hallway. And I saw Melania walking by, and it was like there was a dark hallway and she was walking in it. And I thought to myself, and I was very uncomfortable being there. I didn't like being there. I was almost kind of upset that I was there. And I thought, well, we're in her, whatever this place is. I'm going to go introduce myself to her. And I remember I went over there and I said, you know, my name. I just want to introduce myself. And I remember looking at her face, and it was dark, and it was like it dropped. And there was, she looked so miserable, and just this darkness was over her face. And she just kind of nodded or did something. And I knew she was on her way to go see Baron. And so I walked back to where Trump and the man was. And again, I was given another vision while Trump was explaining how he, you know, has this place for his family. And while he was talking in that dream, and I had this vision that I can, by the spirit, because you can only do this in the spirit, as he can only make it happen, I saw the entire United States in total calamity, chaos. There was terror. There was things on fire. People were screaming. There was lawlessness, anarchy. I saw women screaming. People were starving. And so when I came back into the dream, I thought, I don't want to be here. I want to go. And I, of course, woke up. So it's very interesting because we know that last night, for the first time, the White House turned off all the lights, and they did that on purpose. I know the FBI did that, but that Trump went down into his bunker, which is five stories below the White House. And it turns out that Melania and Baron are with him, just like my dream and exactly how I saw it in my dream. So I believe what those mountains represent, like we see the mountains in the Bible. And like David said, Lord, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. And Babylon is referred to as, oh, thou destroying mountain. And we know that the beast, he has seven, you know, the seven heads are the seven mountains, which means governments. So that what I was seeing in that dream were the governments of the world, and that white mountain he was on was, of course, it was the White House. So, I mean, that really came alive. You know, I was in awe of that.
Yeah, look, I'm just thinking as you were saying that, remembering all the way back, January 2016, you and I did a show together, the first one we ever did, and you told us on air that you were told in December 2015 by a Secret Service agent that Donald Trump had been chosen to be the next president of the United States 2 years before that even. So, and then that there was going to be an economic collapse and martial law and a whole lot of things under Trump's term in office. And we broadcast this a year before Trump was inaugurated. And then we spent, you and I both spent 2016, much of it saying Trump's going to be the president. And when everyone was saying America's going to get a reprieve if Trump gets in, or it's going to be the death of America if Hillary gets in. And it's like, I think we both just were like, Trump is going to get in. We put out articles about it, you know, and different things. And everything is playing out pretty much exactly like what that Secret Service agent told you right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing because, and I want to make this very clear to everybody that's listening. I worked at a private club. By the, you know, I had worked there, I think I was already there for over a year. And I was used to Secret Service agents coming in, and I'm telling you, they don't talk to you. I was a evening concierge. When they come in, they introduce themselves to you. They let you know how long they're going to be there. And because I'm the front desk, there's a lobby. They sit right in front of the desk, a few feet away, and they watch the whole entire time. And you don't, and if you try to talk to them, they just shut you down. They don't even talk to you. So you get used to the fact that don't even bother talking to them. Don't even ask them if they want a cup of water, or a glass of water rather. And that one day, that one night, this, like all the other Secret Service agents, and he came in with House Speaker Boehner when he was under Obama, and he started talking with me, and he was like, how's it going? How are you doing? And then he asked me, who do you think is going to be the next president? And I said, I don't know, maybe I could be Trump. And he said, oh, it will be Trump. Remember, we talked about that.
Yeah.
He was chosen 2 years ago. Then he started going into stuff that there would, I you know, because I was asking him about Jade Helm, you know, and I said, well, what's up with Jade Helm? And because I asked him permission, can I ask you questions? Because it was so like radical. And he's like, you can ask me anything you want. I was like, is this, am I being set up? You know, but you know, he let me ask him questions why that was allowed to happen. I don't know why, but I asked him, he said, what's up with Jade Helm? 15 and 16 that's been here. And he said, well, what do you think it is? I said, well, slowly people think that, we believe it is a military civilian exercise to control, you know, population control. And he said, that's exactly what it is. I said, so is there going to be martial law? And he said, yes, there is going to be martial law. And he said, but it won't be what you think. He said, it's going to start out in the bigger cities, and then it will go to the neighboring cities, and then it's going to fan out. So that was pretty interesting. And I mean, we're looking at that right now. I really do believe that it is going to come into that scenario. I really believe.
So, Joni, what about economic collapse? Because you did talk to him about economic collapse to the Secret Service agent. And in fact, I believe that all the things that we're seeing happening at the moment are actually not a smokescreen, but a distraction from the main event, which is really unfolding, and that is economic collapse. What did the Secret Service agent tell you about that, that was going to happen when Trump was in office?
So I asked him, I was like, can I ask you another question? And he said, sure. And I said, well, I said, is there going to be an economic collapse? And he said, there's not going to be an economic collapse. I go, there isn't. And he said, no, it's going to be an economic catastrophe. I was like, wow. And look what's happening. And let me say something. See, a lot of people look at the stock market and they're like, oh, look, the stock market is up. It's wonderful. The only reason why the stock market is up right now as high as it is because there's a bunch of hedge bettors on there because of that vaccine. But right now, our economy is completely, it turned into a catastrophe, and it is getting worse and worse and worse. If there was the ability for us to turn back, and like, let's just say everybody, like they're saying, oh, we just want everything to get back to normal. It would take us a minimum of 10 years. So we're not going back. There is a catastrophe.
And it's not only America, though. It's global. This is it, the collapsing the system to bring in the new system. And all of these riots and COVID-19 and all of these other things are basically just all steps to get us there. Actually, it's really interesting. There was no news for weeks and weeks except for COVID-19. Now, isn't it really interesting how I notice the numbers of coronavirus deaths are going down, and all of a sudden the coronavirus is no longer the main story. The riots and everything are the main story. It's been replaced, moved to one side so they can keep the control narrative going one way or another. But It's not a pretty picture in any way that we look. In fact, it can be quite downright discouraging. I know we've even had protests in New Zealand yesterday in Wellington, Auckland and Christchurch about the Black Lives Matter thing. They were peaceful, thankfully. Hopefully that's the end of it. But you never know. That could happen again and be hijacked. I hope not. But one way or another, I think the big thing is going to be when people really wake up to find how much the economy has collapsed, when all the free stuff stops getting given out. Like, it's helicopter money that's keeping people afloat at this point. And really, when that stops, because it can't go on indefinitely, we're going to see the main impact of the collapse that's happening, and probably inflation turning into hyperinflation at some point. And it's going to be much, much worse than what we're seeing now. But, you know, there's so much we could talk about negative, but Joni, what's our hope at this time? Really, because we don't want to end up in hopelessness. And I know it's very easy to feel discouraged and down and even get depressed. And I mean, I'll be honest, it's been affecting me pretty much due to some, things to do with all of this at the moment too. So how do we deal with this?
Well, how we deal with it is we keep ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not being religious. You know, it's not like, you know, because there's people like, well, I can't concentrate. I don't have time. Listen, it's not a hard thing. We are Christians. And if people are listening, if you're listening right now and, you know, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then, you know, let this message be for you, because there is a God. Jesus Christ is our God. He is faithful. He says, as he lives in heaven, he lives there for us. We have our hope. Jesus Christ is the hope that doesn't disappoint. And I'll tell you something furthermore. It was very interesting. And I really want to share this, because I just got a word from the Lord. And I mean, if I get a word, I mainly just keep it to myself. But the Lord wanted me to share this, and this is very important, and I really want to share this. And Jonathan and I took a little getaway to Big Bear for a few days, and we were tired, and, you know, we've been under it too, like everybody else. And we thought we were just going to go up there and relax. But as soon as I got up there, the power of the Holy Spirit, he came upon me. And I'm telling you, night and day. And I hadn't made a video in a while. And I was like, well, maybe I'll make a video here. But I felt this for the last two or three weeks, this powerful, the Holy Spirit saying, get away, come away with me. Whatever you look at, it's going to bring you down. Now, I'm not saying we should not look and see what's happening. I believe God wants us to be intelligent about the time that we live in. But I had noticed that the Lord was moving in me. And this is what he said. Like, there was one day, I mean, I really broke down. I even started crying. I said, Lord, I said, I don't understand. I said, there's all these things happening in the world, the vaccine, the possible second wave. And I'm naming stuff. And as I'm naming things one at a time, I heard his voice say to me, that doesn't matter. And I say, but, you know, I think about something else. That doesn't matter either. For an entire day, I kept hearing him say to me, and at the end of the day, all day, that doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. That evening when I went to bed, he spoke these words to me. I said, Lord, all day long, you've been telling me that all these terrible things we're seeing doesn't matter. And I said, what do you mean? It doesn't matter. And he finally said to me, none of those things are going to matter anymore at all. Because what I am going to do will make it not matter. None of those things matter at all anymore forever. I heard him say that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, listen, God has something planned for his people. You don't think that we got all the way here for us as, you know, these people of these last days to not stand out and look different than the other people. One more thing he said to me the next day. The next day we were driving home and it was really quiet and in the car. And he said to me one last thing, like, and I knew it had to do with the final message. And he said to me, I am going to give this world something to remember my people by. And I want to be clear with that, because it wasn't a rapture thing. It wasn't a pre-rapture. It wasn't a, there was nothing involved. It was just what he said. And what I understood is that he has something that he is going to do that's going to shock the enemy through his people. What I believe, the day of Pentecost, when that rushing mighty wind came in, I believe that was like kind of in a sense, a first installment, because that same wind in Greek, it said it echoed from heaven in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, but in Greek it said of an echo from heaven, like of a wind. And that is an eternal wind, and that wind is in us. But when we look at Joel, who says that in the latter days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, I know that that has different connotations, but I believe there is something coming. And you know me, I am no way by any means, I'm not one of those that say any of those kind of prophecies, the carrot in front of you, you're always chomping at it. When is it coming? When is it coming? But if the Lord told that to me and he started showing this to me, he means he's going to do it. And I keep getting a witness because it goes on and on. Oh, and one last thing he said with that word on the way home down the mountain. Minutes later, he said, I am going to leave this world with something to remember my people by through the entire tribulation. And it will be by the means that it will be like a legend, like not, you know, there's going to be believers on earth. So don't get me wrong, that there's going to be something about the believers on the earth. They have to be. And the Lord showed me that word in John 4, 34 and 35, where he says in the verse 35, he says, other men have labored, but you have entered into their labors. And I thought, well, what men is he talking about? What men? Because you know as well as I do, Tony, this is a church system. And it is the weakest that it has ever been since the conception of the church, when Peter took the keys and opened the door to, with this, you know, the keys of the kingdom. And I thought, Lord, who are those men? I would believe it would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samson, you know, all these men that we read about, the mighty men of old, the disciples, all these people. And the Lord began to show me, you're going to enter into their labors. He says, you're going to enter into that labor. And when we read about all those people back then, where the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, they weren't born again, of course, in the Old Testament, but they did acts and feats of God, because as Spirit came upon them. And now we have the Holy Spirit within us, but the Holy Spirit can come upon us. And the Lord is going to meet the enemy and over and above that through his people. He's going to start show. And listen, people were writing to me afterwards going, oh, well, does that mean we need to have more Bible studies and we're going to have maybe more prayer? And I said, no, it has nothing to do with us churning something up. Like, oh, let's meet on Thursdays and we'll pray from this time to this time. No, it has nothing to do with what you or I can do. That's over with. Now, yes, we're going to pray. Yes, we're going to read our Bibles. Understand that. But there is something God has, and he is going, it's going to shock the enemy. Interestingly, you know, I thought about that word where Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, greater things, works will you do than me, for, you know, I go to the Father, right? You'll ask me anything. And I thought, you know, it reminds me of some Old Testament verses, like in, I believe it's Zechariah chapter 10 and chapter 11, but they're in chapter 12. 11 and 12, and in chapter 10 and 11, and in chapter 11, there are these verses that have to do with the second coming and with the few men that are left in Jerusalem after the Antichrist armies have surrounded it and everything is destroyed. And it says that those men become mighty men, that they take on the strength of David. You know, David had that anointing of that powerful strength. You know, he tore the beard of a lion. he killed a bear with his hands. That if God is going to do that with them, and we are the body of Jesus Christ, do you think for 1 minute God's going to let Satan upstage the body of Christ? See, God is getting ready to do something, and he told me. He said he's going to give this world something to remember us by. It's going to impact the world so powerfully that people will come to Christ because of whatever that thing is Christ has planned to do. And it's so amazing because so many people have been writing to me and saying, I can't believe it, that we, like, people are saying it collectively. I can say that they're saying they can feel that there's something coming. There's something coming for us.
That's good. Yes, that's kind of encouraging. Actually, Joni, I think it would be really good to probably closing up to even pray. You know, there's nothing more powerful, I think, than a good, powerful prayer, and you're pretty good at touching God through prayer. So maybe it would be a good time to pray for our listeners before we do close up.
Yeah. And listen, I'm going to pray for everybody, you know, and I just want you to just open up your hearts to the Lord. I want you to open up your ears. I want you to receive the Lord. I'll be praying. But open up your hearts to him. God is a refuge unto us. Father in heaven, we come to you right now. We know that there you're outside of time. It's not about who lives on one part of the nation or in some other nation. But you are the Lord of all the earth. The earth is yours. You said that you even created the summer and the winter, the north and the south. You said all souls are yours. You said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And Lord, we know that right now as we speak, that this is the time of the beginning of Jacob's trouble. We know, Lord God, as it doesn't matter what our outcome of eschatological positions are, is that we are your people. We are called by your name. And you magnify your word above all your name, and your word towards us is that you will never fail us. You will not forsake us. You promised that you will see us through to the other side. I pray for everybody right now whose hearts are broken, for those of you who have lost jobs, that are out of money, there's fighting in your house. You don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. Let me tell you in the name of Jesus that the Lord is your God. He is the Lord of your house. He is not going to let anything happen to you. And I pray over every listener that you would impart your peace and that power of your joy, that you be their divine supply. That no evil plague come nigh their dwelling, that you begin to raise up a mighty army of saints all over the world, that you make us valiant in this last fight. Praise the Lord. I think of that word in Song of Solomon that says, who is this that looketh forth as the morning, bright as the sun, clear as the moon, bright as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. The Lord is telling me that many of you right now are feeling weak, that you feel there's nothing left that you can do, that there's too much pressure. The Lord is telling me to tell you, hold on. He will not let your foot slip. He will enlarge the places underneath your feet. He is taking you from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and grace for grace, which means an endless supply. Lord, I pray that you make everybody heavenly minded and that you robe about them robes of righteousness and you strengthen them and you carry them and you make a mighty table and you prepare it in the presence of their enemies, and that every single soul that loves you, Jesus Christ, in sincerity will sing the song of the Lamb, O King of Saints. You said, who shall not fear thee and call upon thy name? For from you and through you and to you are all things. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So, Joni, can you just tell those that don't know, I'm sure most do, but what your YouTube channel is, how they and how they find you online?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I'm on YouTube. Just type in Joni Stahl's Field Notes.
Great. And people can contact you if they want to?
Yeah, you know, or they can go to my website, Joni Stahl's Field Notes. You know, I mean, just type it in, it'll be right there. You know, I'm the only one that has that name. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's my website.
Great. And folks, don't forget to our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And actually, you can find a lot of Joni's old articles and things there on the website too, in the archives. And A Minute to Midnight is where it's kind of like our one-stop shop. All of our shows get put on the website in audio and video format, completely separate from YouTube and completely separate from iTunes, but also they can be found on YouTube and iTunes. I really recommend, folks, that you actually hit the follow button on the website, subscribe by email so you get all our updates. And also subscribe to our YouTube and iTunes channels as well, because sooner or later, some of these things are going to go down and be taken away. We don't know exactly how that'll work. So probably the more things you're subscribed to, the better chance you have of being able to continue to follow what A Minute to Midnight does. And all the shows, as I say, are found in audio and video format, except some which are just video only. That's why you want to be on the website so you get all of the various options and articles too. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. I want to say thanks to the folks that donate. Couldn't do it without your help. Really, really appreciate it in these tough times that people are actually still donating and keeping us afloat. So I want to say thank you. And you can donate at the website if you want. The music used in the shows I've written, played and recorded as well. So the music's mine. Okay, Joni, I just want to say a big thank you for being on the show again. And we'll have to have you back before long again.
Yeah, I'd love to. It sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
It's always good. I enjoy our shows we do together. So God bless and you and everyone else. Have a great and prosperous and blessed week.